blackness. Then a raven screams, raw, martial, alive. The sound arrives before any image, and it is not a bird sound. It is a war horn made of throat and grief. It fills the dark and refuses to apologize. Before dawn, the British Columbia coastal range rises out of that dark, mountains of timber still holding their night. Endless black timber. Fog moves like an army that has not chosen a side. Somewhere below the tree line, water runs cold over stone. A branch drips. The forest breathes the way old things breathe. Slow, patient. Older than the men who think they own it. A raven cuts the dark, sapphire eye. Silver rings on her legs, a small medallion at her chest catching a scrap of moon. She panks hard, screams again, not pretty, not documentary. Below her, 10,000 acres of living forest hold their breath. This is a declaration. Her name settles on the dark like a blade laid flat, Budra Kali. Far below, a logging road has been carved into old growth, a raw cut through trees that never asked for wheels. Headlights snake, a convoy. Campaign banners on flatbeds. In Rasm, clean air unity. Soren Tate. The trucks grind up the switchbacks, chewing ruts into ground that has never carried a wheel. Diesel smoke rises into clean air and stains it. The raven watches. Remembers. Hates. She does not move to attack. Not yet. She files the faces, she files the plates, she files the smell of the men who laugh with cattle prods across their laps. A predator learning the shape of its prey. Early morning. Inside David Daniel's cabin, the kitchen holds a soft dawn. Soft dawn through a modest window. Plants crowd the sill. Jars of dog treats. Stacks of worn books on animal behavior and forest ecology. A half-finished mug of coffee sits beside an open New York Times crossword puzzle. On the windowsill, arranged with grim pride, a dead mouse, a mangled shrew, something unidentifiable and horrible, never a bird. Morning offerings. Tina's work. The Raven's breakfast altar. David Daniel, 39, sits at the table in a worn flannel shirt, pencil poised. Easy smile lines around kind, thoughtful eyes, a man who has chosen gentleness on purpose every day against the world's suggestion. He mutters clues to himself. A morning ritual, a small piece, David says, chewing the pencil. Five letters, to warn without words. Six down wants a bird. Everything in my life wants a bird. He sips coffee, winces. It has gone cold. He does not care enough to warm it. This is a man comfortable in his own quiet. David continues, to warn without words. Signal, no, too many letters. A shadow crosses the window. He does not look up. He has learned the choreography of this house. Without warning, a large raven rockets through the open kitchen window, wings spread, and lands expertly on the table inches from the crossword. David does not flinch. He breaks into a warm, knowing smile. David continues, back again, huh? Couldn't resist? Budra Kali watches him with a gaze as perceptive as his own. She glances at Tina's windowsill altar, mouse, shrew, horror, and soft cause approval. Then, as if to make her presence official, she drops a bright red and white speckled mushroom directly onto the puzzle squares. David continues, that's not a five-letter word. That's a felony against the crossword. From the doorway shadow, Tina, tiny and proud, waits for the verdict. Budra Kali looks at her once. That is enough. The runt stands taller. David chuckles, picks it up, examines it with the expertise of a veterinarian and the curiosity of an animal psychologist. David continues, to Budra Kali, mock stern, Amanita family. Pretty. Would stop a man's heart by lunch. You bring me poison and expect breakfast? Budra Kali tilts her head. Unbothered, she knows exactly what she brought and exactly why. Then he really looks at her. A missing flight feather, a nick on one silver ring, a smear of dried blood like rust at the hinge of her beak. The smile dies. David continues, "Who hurt you?" Budrakali presses her head into his palm, soft, trusting, then pecks the mushroom twice, hard, urgent. David continues, "Easy, easy, I hear you." She pecks it a third time and fixes him with the sapphire eye. There is nothing soft in it now. David continues, stands, already moving. "Okay, coffee later, show me." He grabs a canvas jacket off the chair. Tina slips out ahead of them like a scout who was never off the clock. Outside, David's forest compound wakes with them. David steps into crisp dawn air. Budrakali perches on his shoulder, then glides ahead, a shadow against pastel sky. The compound sprawls through trees and wild grasses. Large aviaries, ropes, obstacle courses crafted from natural materials. In the center, an open training area, poles topped with small brass bells. Everywhere, life. A hummingbird feeder ticks. A crow argues with a squirrel and loses. Somewhere a rooster who thinks he runs the place announces the sun as if he invented it. A plaque beside the training area. Forest Fire Detection Program. Alert and protect, ring bell for reward. As David passes, birds cock their heads as if awaiting his signal. He raises a hand in gentle greeting, priest walking through his cathedral. David says, "Morning, choir." A dozen small heads bob in answer. He touches a bell as he passes. It gives one clean note, and three sparrows ring their own in reply, hoping for a cracker. He laughs under his breath. David continues, "Not yet. Work first. Same as me." 200 yards from the compound, the woods thicken. Budrakali lands on a mossy stump, soft caw. At her feet, edible mushrooms, red caps, white stems, under fallen leaves. David kneels, gathers them into a woven bag. David says, softly, "Good find, baby. You always know where to look." He works with the ease of long habit, thumb testing gill and stem, sorting the good from the merely pretty. David continues, "That's the trick nobody tells you. The forest isn't trying to kill you. It just doesn't care if you're careless." Budrakali hops, tilts her head, then freezes, staring past him into the brush. David feels the change through the air itself. He stops sorting. David continues, "What is it?" The forest has gone quiet. Even the rooster has shut up. At the tree line, something waits. Darling stands half in, half out of cover, a scarred racing dog, ribs showing, soft eyes that almost apologize for existing. She flinches when David lifts his hand. Looks harmless. Looks sweet. Looks like she could not hurt a fly. David says, low, gentle, the voice he uses for the broken ones, "Hey, hey, sweetheart, nobody's going to touch you." Budrakali hops between them, beak to snout. Not pet and bird, partnership, recognition, warriors smelling war. For half a second, Darling's eyes go cold, predator steel, then soft again. David misses it. Budrakali does not. From the deeper brush, a German shepherd, a pit bull mix, a trembling Elap dog, a half-wolf hybrid, a greyhound with track tattoos. Canines of all types creep into view. David goes very still. His hand drifts halfway to a pocket, then stops. These are not attacking. This is something he has no file for. They do not approach David. They approach Darling. One by one, they drop, belly to dirt, and whimper. Respect and fear braided into the same sound. Darling barely looks at them. They obey anyway. David continues, stunned whisper. "What are you?" He crouches slowly, keeping his hands open, reading the geometry of it, the way the pack angles toward the scarred greyhound like iron filings toward a magnet. David continues to himself, scientist and believer at once. That's not dominance. Dominance is loud. This is worship. Darling leans into David's leg like a soft house pet, Across the line of dogs, none dare move without her. David continues, voice breaking, to Budrakali, nobody races her here. Nobody throws her away. She's under our protection. Both of you. Hear me? Budrakali answers like an oath. One hard, clear caw that rolls out over the trees. Darling glances once at the waiting dogs. They freeze harder. David continues, soft to Darling. Whatever they did to you before, it's over. You're home. Darling licks his hand once. It could be gratitude. It could be a soldier accepting a commanding officer. With her, it is both. Whisperer. Later by day at the Ridge Firewatch. A demonstration of what all of this is actually for. Before the world twists it into a weapon. David and Budrakali on a high rock. Below, the valley rolls away in green for 100 miles. On distant poles, brass bells catch the light. A sparrow on a far ridge suddenly rings its bell, frantic. Then another, then a third, the alarm rolling toward them like a wave. David is up instantly, binoculars to his eyes. Far off, a thin thread of smoke rising from dry timber, days before any satellite or lookout tower would flag it. David says, into radio, this is Daniel, Sector 9. I've got smoke, grid 4-4, small and early. Repeat, small and early, get a crew on it before it's a season. He lowers the radio, watches the smoke, then looks at the birds still ringing down the line, his whole choir passing the alarm hand to hand across the wilderness. David continues soft to Budrakali. That's 100 acres that won't burn because a sparrow wanted a cracker. People think I'm playing with birds out here. I'm running the best early fire net in the province, and it cost me a bag of seed. Budrakali fluffs, proud. David watches the smoke thin as far below, a crew moves in early. A fire stopped while it's still small. A whole system built on trust and kindness and the humble genius of small creatures. David continues, almost to himself, alert, protect, come home. Somebody's going to try to make this ugly someday. I can feel it coming. Let him try. We know what it's really for. He does not know how soon someday is. Behind him, unnoticed, a Clean Air Unity flatbed grinds along a far logging road, and Budrakali turns her sapphire eye toward it long before David does. Later that morning, back at the compound training yard, David runs fire drills. Sparrows ring bells, rewards, laughter. David says, alert, good, alert, good girl. See smoke, ring bell, get cracker. The whole economy of this ranch, ladies and gentlemen. A sparrow rings a bell for no reason at all and looks at him expectantly. David gives it a cracker anyway. David continues, yeah, that's called fraud. I'm allowing it. Don't tell the Grant Board. Darling naps in the sun, cute, useless looking, while the other dogs sit in a respectful crescent, watching her like officers watch a general on leave. David films a small training clip on his phone, narrating softly for a Grant report he will never enjoy writing. David continues, lowering the phone. Alert, protect, come home. That's the whole religion. 3 commandments, no collection plate. Budrakali lands on his shoulder. Darling opens one eye, closes it. In the background, a hummingbird feeder ticks with tiny wings. From under the porch, Tina, a small female cat, runt of the litter, black and white bicolor fluff, white chest and muzzle, black mask over the ears, a tiny black beauty mark by her mouth, bushy black saddled tail, undersized and fierce in miniature. She watches Budrakali with absolute focus. Not hunting. Guarding, claiming a duty no dog is allowed, David continues, noticing. Morning, Tina. Your bodyguard's on shift already. Budrakali soft caws once. Tina blinks slow. Contract renewed. Darling pads over, still half asleep, and sits too close. The whisper is soft claim on shared space. Tina turns her head, slow, contemptuous, looks Darling dead in the eyes. A thought bubble pops above Tina. Comic, unmistakable kid picture book, clear against the real world. Cats rule and dogs drool. Hold. Darling's ears flatten. She bares her teeth. A flash of the hellfire under the sweet face. Then spins, lifts her tail, shows Tina her behind with deliberate insult, and walks away like she won the war. Tina's bubble pops. She looks smug. Budrakali watches, both like a referee who refuses to call fouls. David continues, laughing under his breath. Don't start a civil war before breakfast. He crouches, scratches Tina under the chin. She permits it for exactly 3 seconds, then walks off to a fence rail with the wounded dignity of royalty who was touched without permission. David continues, watching her go. Everybody in this house thinks they're in charge. The terrifying part is they might all be right. He looks out over the compound, the aviaries, the dogs, the cat, the raven, the impossible piece of it. This is peace. This is what will be taken. By day, the logging clear-cut, Soren Tate's clean air unity site. Music cue, the Rolling Stones, paint it black. Needled hard under diesel and screaming chicks. Empire painting the living world black. Bulldozers chew the edge of protected land. Soren Tate campaign banners snap in the dust. Workers with cattle prods drive nesting birds from trees marked for emergency corridor clearing. The scale is obscene, a scar half a mile wide where old growth stood yesterday. Stumps bleed sap. The air is brown. A foreman in a high-vis vest checks a clipboard against orange spray marks. He is not cruel by nature. He has simply decided not to look too closely at what pays him. A nest falls. Chicks scream. David arrives with consultant credentials and loses his mind. David says, stop. Those nests are protected under provincial statute. Stop. The foreman says, laughing, unity needs roads, Doc. Birds can move. David says, it's April. They can't fly yet. You know that. You know that. The foreman says, shrugging, not meeting his eyes. I know I've got a schedule and a permit with a big name on it. Take it up with the big name. A drone hovers for PR footage. David grabs a cattle prod and hurls it into mud. A guard shoves him. David comes up swinging, raw, ugly, righteous. Security piles on. Budrakali dives, rakes a scalp open. Darling, somehow already there, latches onto a boot and will not release until... David continues, Darling, release. Good girl, good girl. She releases instantly. Sits. Sweet-faced. The guard scrambles back from the sweet-faced dog like she is on fire. Blood on David's lip. He stares into the drone lens, breathing hard. David continues, beat, quieter, worse. Film this. Film what you are. Tell your boss the forest has a memory, and so do I. The foreman looks away. For 1 second, he is ashamed. Then a radio crackles and the machines start again, and the second is gone. Inside Soren Tate's war room. Floor-to-ceiling feeds. Soren Tate watches David bleed for birds, amused, almost aroused by the inconvenience of conscience. He is handsome the way a knife is handsome. Tailored, rested. A man who sleeps 8 hours because nothing has ever cost him a minute. Soren says, find the birdman, find what he loves, then break it on television. The aide says, sir, the Unity Act language on detention windows. Soren says, later. Fear needs a face first. Animals scare people clean. People scare people forever. He freezes the frame on David's bloodied face. Studies it the way a collector studies an acquisition. Soren continues, almost tender. Look at that. He means it. God, I love the ones who mean it. They break so beautifully. The aide says, do you want him discredited or removed? Soren says, smiling, I want him famous. Then I want him a cautionary tale. There's no such thing as a martyr the day after everyone laughs at him. By day, inside a government building corridor. Soren strides out of a cabinet meeting. Press secretary hustles to keep up. Phone glowing with disaster. The press secretary says, "Optics, Soren, optics. The nest footage is already trending." Soren says, "Screw optics." The press secretary says, "It's got 2 million views. The birdman looks like a saint, and you look like the guy who..." Soren says, "Not slowing. Who what? Who keeps the lights on? Who keeps the roads clear? Let them cry over the birds. Crying people don't vote. Scared people do." The press secretary says, "Sir..." Soren says, "Bury it under something bigger by tonight. That's your whole job. Find me a bigger fire." Inside the men's washroom, a staffer combs his hair at the mirror. Soren walks in. The air changes with him. Tight, electric, wrong. Then, exploding, raw, furious, Soren screams. Perform this as an enraged dictator screaming in a bathroom. Maximum volume, crack throat, no restraint, get out. The staffer flees. Soren snorts powder off the counter. Power floods his face like a religious experience. His eyes go wide. His mouth finds a grin that is almost a snarl. He grips the sink, stares himself down. The confidence comes back online behind his eyes like a city grid after a blackout. And it feels good. He throws his head back. Spit. Mania. A dictator tasting lightning, and he howls it. Full throat, cracked with joy, no dignity left. Pure animal triumph. Perform this as a madman victory howl. Ecstatic, insane, full-throated, spit-flying, absolute passion, shouting, "Hell yes! Yes!"